Now, some of the letters we received this week. Bill Sweeney of Clemens, North Carolina, writes that he was taken aback by a question I put to Jeffrey Toobin, who wrote a book about the O.J. Simpson trial. The question was whether, as a lawyer, he felt any obligation to accept that Simpson was found not guilty by a jury of his peers. Mr. Sweeney writes, "To this I ask the theoretical questions, what if Adolf Hitler were tried and found not guilty of the Holocaust by a jury consisting of Nazi officers? Or if Stalin were found not guilty of ordering the deaths of millions of Russian peasants by members of his Politburo? Would it have been right of the world to just accept these verdicts and collectively say, oh, well, they were found not guilty by juries of their peers, let's move on? Simpson got off because of a prosecution team that misread its full house as the winning hand against the defense team's royal flush. That doesn't make Simpson any less guilty, and it certainly doesn't mean Toobin or anybody else has to accept the verdict as the end of the case, at least where morality and justice are concerned." This next letter concerns a movie review. Listener Bruce Hansen urges us, "Please inform Bob Mondello, your movie critic, that the production of Down Jackets does not harm the geese." At the end of his review of the movie Fly Away Home, Hansen writes, "Mr. Mondello said that the only people who would not like the movie would be hunters and the people who make those down jackets, the implication being that goose down is harvested in such a way that harms the geese. This is not the case. Goose down is harvested from the down that geese shed naturally into the linings of their nests. The geese are not harmed. Indeed, they are hardly inconvenienced. The process is not at all analogous to the production of, for instance, mink coats." Well, while Mondello was faulted for that misplaced solicitousness for the geese, I was roundly pasted by listeners who detected a callousness toward chickens in an interview about the history of chicken farming. "Wasn't it at least worth mentioning," asks Wayne Johnson, Ph.D. of Seattle, "what tremendous suffering these magnificent birds undergo as they are confined five to a cage and then end their short, miserable lives at a slaughterhouse?" Dennis Sparks of Ann Arbor, Michigan, wrote about our coverage of the report of the National Commission on Teaching and America's Future. He called it, unfortunately, an example of the kind of journalism that promotes controversy rather than the thoughtful examination of issues. Mr. Sparks writes this, "Because I have had the opportunity to study the Commission's report, I know that it emphasizes the right of every child to a caring, competent teacher, and the right of every teacher to the training and support required to be successful in an increasingly demanding job. By allowing yourselves to become distracted by hot-button political issues, like teacher tenure, you missed the opportunity to educate listeners about a subject that will have far-reaching consequences on the future of public education in this country." Finally, this response to a commentary by Catherine Kirsten about the benefits of adversity, in which she contrasted the outward-bound approach to character building with the welfare state, which she said seeks to mitigate human suffering by emphasizing the soft virtues of compassion and caring. Well, to that, Tim Culver of Durham, North Carolina, writes this, "How easy it is to forget that every timely square meal I had during my middle-class upbringing was chipping away at my character. We need to savor every morsel of adversity we find in this cushy country." We welcome your letters. We read all of them and from some of them on the air every Thursday. The address is Letters, All Things Considered, 635 Massachusetts Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C., zip code 20001. By email, it is atc@npr.org.